Brother David at the bar.
That wasn't me in the national publication. That was Fred Golson. I was the photographer. They borrowed that picture from me. I was in St. Louis, Duane. I stood up there. I think Gene was there too, right, Gene? Where are you? Gene Easton? No? Oh, I thought you were. I know I'm getting old. I was 8 years old then. So you know how old I am. John and Eunice never got married. John's at the Watchtower Farm in a wheelchair. How many of you are apostates? Isn't that wonderful? I just hate that word. Sister Marsh took one of my lines today. I was going to ask you if you got your latest Kool-Aid packet. Satan was talking about you again as apostates in the latest issue of the Watchtower, saying that it's the responsibility of all Jehovah's Witnesses to turn in anyone, even a mate, if they even have an inkling of sympathy towards the apostates. They have to be straightened out immediately. So I think it's wonderful that Satan doesn't confuse us with his people and that we're known as apostates by his people. They're frightened with us, those Watchtower wimps, as my son calls them. But I'm proud to be known as your friends, even though you're apostates. Bill and Joan, I'm glad you love me. Number of you here, Fred and Kate Golson, Leonard and Marge Krippian, Al and Marion, Bosch, Dwayne Magnani, and Gene Easton. It's comfortable to come here when there's people you know that are here. And so when the Watchtower calls you apostates, just know that it's because Satan hates what you're doing, that you've taken a stand. The scripture that I'd like to base what I'm talking on today is at Galatians 5:1. If we could just read that first part. I'm using the Living Bible, which is paraphrased. It's not really a translation of the Bible, but it sort of makes things interesting. And I wouldn't tell you to read it without a regular translation of the Bible. But it says, "So Christ has made us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get all tied up again in the chains of slavery to Jewish laws and ceremonies." So what comes to your mind when you read that? The Jewish laws and ceremonies? If you've left the Watchtower Society, don't get all tied up again in something else. Jesus made you free, stay free. And if this, Paul goes on to say, if you are counting on keeping rules and regulations to make you right with God, then Christ cannot save you. Verse 3 says that if you want to keep one law, you must always obey every other Jewish law or perish. And it says, if Christ is useless to you if you are counting on clearing your debt to God by keeping those laws, you are lost from God's grace. And I think there's something wrong with the attitude of some of our friends that are still Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know if you have any association with people that are still Jehovah's Witnesses. At my place of business, I have a number of them that call me once in a while to tell me what's going on. And we can't condemn them, because I had that attitude for a while, but you can't hang on to that attitude for very long. They know that the society is wrong, but because of family and friends and circumstances, they feel that notwithstanding the adamant attitude of the society that they're the only ones that have the truth, They're the only ones that are right, and they are the only religion that's right. Notwithstanding all of that, they feel that they just have to still hang on to something, that it doesn't matter what organization you're associated with, just as long as you believe in God. But they're in a very dangerous trap. That way of thinking would be okay if the Watchtower Society was a Christian organization. But it is not, as we will prove later, if we have time. I see we're a little late here. These people are hanging on are being deceived into thinking that if they associate with an organization that claims to be the true religion, then by association with those people, they're going to escape the wrath of God. Now, the Watchtower Society claims to be a Christian organization. They claim to be the only Christian organization on the face of the earth. They boldly state that other religions who claim to be Christian are false religion. They say that Christendom is the seed of Babylon the Great. They scare people with all of these things. I used to be scared of things like that. They go into extensive detail trying to prove that. You can pick up almost any book that they put out, and that seems to be the underlining theme. The thing that they're obsessed with is how bad Christendom is. They will never admit that the teachings of Pastor Russell would never be accepted by modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses, right? The things that he taught, he'd be disfellowshipped for today. But those things were absolute truth handed down to him personally by Jehovah. So who made the mistake? They also deny that they ever said, and a witness just told me the other day, they absolutely never said that the end of the world was coming in 1879, in 1914, 1925, 1943. They never said anything was going to happen in 1975. And now Duane tells us that they're thinking about 1986. They didn't give themselves much time. But have you ever noticed that at the end of the life of all of their presidents, they get this strange obsession that the world is going to end in 2 or 3 years? They don't want to be known as liars, do they? So they have to put forth this counterfeit preaching that they do, this counterfeit Christian religion. And that's why the deception is so serious. These people are hanging on to something that in actuality is going to lead them right into the ditch. So if you are caught in their trap of pressure, any of you, that you can't make a firm decision on your own to be free from that religious situation, remember that you're never going to do it on your own. First thing you have to do is pray. I didn't know that at first. Seek help through association. Well, if you can't associate with them, how are you going to seek help? It's the first thing that comes into your mind. Well, read the Bible. Don't be afraid to read the Bible. Get into the Word and take a stand. Boy, that sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, it took me almost 7 years to do that. But Jesus is going to back you up. Even though you don't even know who he is at the time, if you start taking that step, he's going to back you up. And there are fellow Christians out there that are going to catch you. You may not even know who they are. They may not be ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that have found Jesus, but they're going to catch you. And Jesus is going to make sure that they're there. But a word of caution, don't get caught into another trap, like Paul says in Galatians. There are traps out there. Besides the traps that are set by ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that are very sincere in what they're doing, but they don't want to give up some of the Watchtower lies. But there's other traps, and Christians will tell you what they are. Denominationalism is a trap that can really harm people, cause people to fight one among another. Religion can be a trap. I just heard a preacher, a Pentecostal preacher the other day, that said, don't let religion get between you and God. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Religion can get between you and Jesus. So churches don't matter. What matters is your communion with Christ. Some well-meaning Christians will try to mold your thinking to fit theirs. Now, don't let that happen. Be free. And Paul says, make sure you stay free. Of course, you should consider everything that people talk to you about. Just make sure that it's backed up by the scriptures. But some will get caught up into arguments influenced by their previous association with the watchtower. You can get into really tremendous arguments about the Trinity, about is it a false doctrine or is it true? Well, you can prove the Trinity this way or you can prove it that way. The cross. Oh, my God, he said the cross. I couldn't say that word for a long time. You know, I actually love the cross now. A year ago when I was here with you people, I couldn't say that. I was still learning, and I'm still learning. But it doesn't matter. All of these things will fall into place, and the right place will come for you. Remember, Jehovah's Witnesses are not the only people that discuss these things and discuss whether they're true or not. Other denominations and other religions are discussing them too, even though you were told, oh, Jehovah's Witnesses are the only people that delve into history and talk about these things. That's not true. You'll hear Christians talking about the beginning of the history of the Christian church and what happened to it. They're not hiding anything like you were told they're hiding things. Remember that in true Christianity, there is no organization that sets rules. The Bible is the rule book of the body of Christ. And there is no other way to look at it. If there are churches and denominations, religions, they are secondary to the body of Christ. They were not set up by Jesus. They were set up by people for fellowship, to minister to one another, for association. And all of this can be good as long as you recognize their purpose and use it for the right purpose. And most of them do. You will be welcomed by most of them to fellowship with them. And if they are truly Spirit-filled, their only concern will be your standing with Jesus, not your standing with them. They will be there to build you up. In actuality, what I found in the past few months is that we, as ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, I understand there's other people here too besides ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, but people that came out of this type of organization can be very uplifting to other Christians. We can share our testimony with them to show how we were released from this organization, an organization that was disguised by Satan to look like God's organization. And as you get into the Word, as a person committed to Jesus, you will get a clear understanding of what it is to please God. You'll find out that not everyone who claims to have the truth is going to receive God's blessing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read verses 21 and 22. I'm sure you're familiar with this scripture. Matthew chapter 7, actually starting with verse 15, but it's quite long. So, Jesus talks about that we should beware of false teachers who come disguised as harmless sheep, he goes on, and then it says, yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit produced. Not all who sound religious are really God's people. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. So you see, Jehovah's Witnesses might talk about Jesus. You see his name in their literature. But they won't acknowledge who he really is. Now you might be saying, you've heard a number of people talking up here, why all these statements and comparisons about the Watchtower Society and Jehovah's Witnesses? We're not doing this to bore you or to offend you. It's not done for that purpose, so please understand our circumstances and situations. In my situation, I'm 52 years old, and until I left and started to associate with other people, I knew nothing else. You see, despite of what they say, I was born a Jehovah's Witness. For over 40 years, I breathed and lived the Watchtower Doctrine, its dogma. For over 40 years, to varying degrees, I had a guilty conscience. I see you know what I'm talking about. This conscience was trained by the Watchtower publications and the Watchtower teachers who themselves had consciences trained by the Watchtower that they tried to push onto other people. It became a part of your thinking. You eat and sleep the watchtower religion. Can I do this? Can I do that? Don't do this. You better do that. Remember? So now that I'm free, I like to compare that trapped feeling with my freedom that I received through Jesus. In all those 40 years, I never knew who Jesus was. Can you imagine? I never talked to Jesus. We were Jehovah's Witnesses, so we know what kind of people we were. We weren't bad people. I think most of us were very spiritual people, even though we weren't scholars. Everything we learned, somebody else did the research for us. We were very sincere people, but boy, were we very lost people. Why? Because Jesus is the answer, and we didn't know who he was. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And now that I'm free from this watchtower thinking, I can read Romans 10. If you'd like to turn there for a minute, I think you'll find it very interesting when you put Jesus in the proper perspective. Romans 10, 1 to 15 has new meaning for me. "Dear brothers, the longing of my heart and my prayer is that the Jewish people might be saved." What do you think about Jehovah's Witnesses when you think about them? Don't you wish they could find out what you found out? Now you know how Paul felt. "I know what enthusiasm they have for the honor of God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand that Christ has died to make them right with God. Instead, they are trying to make themselves good enough to gain God's favor by keeping Jewish laws and customs. But that is not God's way of salvation." Like Dwayne was saying, they were trying to please God by getting 6 hours a weekend, the children. You know what we used to do? We were the first polluters. We used to pollute the sewer system. We used to take the literature and throw it down in the gutters. And our parents thought we were really great placing all that literature. You imagine that poor sewer system. "They don't understand that Christ gives to those who trust in him everything they are trying to get by keeping his laws." He ends all of that. Go down to 8. "For salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is what we preach, is already within easy reach of us. In fact, it is as near as your own hearts and your own mouths." If you stick around tonight, that's what you're going to find out. It's as close as your own heart and your own mind, your own mouth. "For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be able to go through the 1,000 years and maybe be saved," right? No, it doesn't say that. But that's what they were telling us. We were even frightened of the 1,000-year reign, that we might make it almost to the end and we might have some bad thought or something and that's it. You're gone forever. That's not what he says here. "You will be saved. For it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God, and with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. For the scriptures tell us that no one who believes in Christ will ever be disappointed. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have all the same Lord, who generously gives his riches to all those who ask him for them. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 15. And how... Oh, this is the part that made me stop and think. "But how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him?" That's why we didn't believe in Jesus. We never heard about him. We were... The Nazis had their youth movement, right? Well, Rutherford had his youth movement. That's what we were. "And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them unless someone sends him. That is what the scriptures are talking about when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace with God and bring glad tidings of good things. So, many of us here have a great burden upon us because we're worried about Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't really truly understand that scripture until you invite Jesus into your heart. Now, the society always said, well, Jesus is talking about the anointed here, the remnant. Well, that's true. He's talking to, through Paul, to born-again Christians. So they were right. They just thought that he was talking to them. So how can they call on him if they don't believe in him? They belittle him. They even took his job away from him. He's not the mediator anymore. You've heard what some of the brothers have put in their publications about Jesus not being the mediator anymore. He only works through the governing body. So he can't be trusted to be the mediator, the one source of salvation. They made him an angel, can you imagine? So how can they hear? How can we get to them? It's difficult. It's actually almost impossible. But we can't do it. But it can be done. Jesus can do it. We can pray and ask him to do it. If you think that you're here without somebody praying for you, you have some wonderful things to learn about Jesus. I found out that people were praying for me. I didn't even know about it. They didn't tell me. They just prayed and prayed and prayed for my family. All of us are free because someone prayed for us. So many of us have tried to save ourselves. When we left, we thought we were going to go it alone. I'm not going to get trapped into another organization. No, sir, not me. But we found out that we can't go it alone. Not one of us can save ourselves. Only the cross that Jesus died on can save us. There he goes again. He said cross again. There's something wrong with him, right? Actually, we are in a favored position. Because of our experiences, we can warn other Christians about self-styled prophets who claim to know everything about God's Word, who claim that they have a monopoly on God's Word. Not one of us here are going to trust anyone who's going to write a supplement to God's Word. We know the dangers of that, don't we? Those who have pat answers and are not open to reasoning are dangerous. Anyone who says, this is it and that is it, is in the wrong religion. They've got the wrong attitude. So there's some things that we have to get out of our mind or get into our mind. I guess it depends how you look at it. In other words, as ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, we have to change our way of thinking. We were brainwashed, believe it or not, brainwashed to ignore facts. As I started, you know, when Bill asked me to do this, I started thinking about, I never really sat down and seriously thought about this, but we were practicing a religion of fantasy. So we have to try to figure out what's fact or fantasy. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, how true it is and how I long that everyone should know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's a fact. Most of us here at one time or another were part of a religion of fantasy. We were part of a religion with a split personality. Just think of what you used to believe in. I wrote this down because it took me a long time to figure it out. To live in a place to which you are not emotionally attached, and to be attached to a place in which you do not live, well, that's an unstable way to make a basis for your life, isn't it? But we were in a New World-oriented society situated in a real world. Like that brother said, I heard somebody mention before that he was too busy preparing for the Great Tribulation and he ignored a lot of things. We never faced reality. So we have to decide what is fact and what is not fact. And until you know the facts, you won't know if something is a fact or if it's just somebody's philosophy. Now, you've considered these points before. Nobody in their right mind is going to disagree with you if you say gravity is a fact, right? Or that if you don't eat, you're going to die. Starvation is a fact. And it's a fact that I eat too much, right? Those two people sitting back there are always telling me that. Now, fantasy, or whatever you want to call it, new light, goes away, right? It always changes. But facts always remain the same. The Bible deals in facts and reality. And we might list some of these things. I'm not going to say fact number one, fact number two. But fact number one is that God loves you. And that's one of the hardest things to figure out when you leave the Watchtower organization. But He loves you regardless of your background. So if you feel useless and worthless, you need healing from God's altar. He will heal you right inside here. Do you feel unloved? Well, that's a fantasy, because God loves you. And how did He show it? In the ultimate manner. He gave His Son, Christ. Jesus did not deserve the cross. We deserved it. Now, don't ever say that no one cares for you, because He died for you. And that's going to be one of the things that's going to make it so easy for you to get that organization off of your back. Find out that God loves you. Another fact is that you are a sinner. And there's no way that you're going to be able to measure up on your own. And that's the crux of the problem. None of us can measure up. We're all in the same boat when it comes to that. So don't go comparing yourselves to other people, whether you think that person's great, or maybe you're comparing that person so you can rationalize and say, well, I'm better than that person. Compare yourself with Christ. Romans 3 says that none are righteous. Christ is the standard of excellence. That's how we should judge ourselves. It's the only life that God would accept. So if you come this far, are you hopeless because you're a sinner? No, because Christ came to atone for us. We learned all of these things, but we never understood them, what His sacrifice was all about. And He still loves us, even though we're sinners. That's the amazing thing about it, isn't it? He's not offended by us. The common ailment of the human spirit, which really comes out in us when we start coming out of the Watchtower-type organization, is desperation. Isn't it true? We're desperate. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. And that's why we have to remember that Christ died for us. 1 John 5:13, I think it was quoted this morning, says, "Know that you are saved." That's the guarantee. Now, there's something else you might think about at this time. And most of us have to go through this for a while. I know I had to. So just a word of caution. And I'm not saying what you should do or shouldn't do. This is just from my observation. And that's about getting involved in ex-Jehovah's Witness events. You can spend a lot of time and money running around the country or the world trying to be a part of everything that's going on. So one thing you could do when you learn about Jesus is like this. Is it Christ-centered? Do you want to spend your time doing this? Are they trying to glorify Jesus? There's many events being planned that will get your attention, designed especially for ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and some will seem exciting. Some will do us good, really. We shouldn't ignore them. We can learn from them. But put them to the test with the Scriptures. Are they strictly for fellowship? Which is good. We need fellowship. We have a lot in common, and it's good for us to associate. Or, this is the question I want you to consider, is it just to keep Watchtower lies alive? Some have left the organization not for spiritual reasons, but for either political reasons or personal reasons or whatever. And they still want to believe in those twisted interpretations of the Bible. Many of us left that way. I basically left that way. But we've advanced. We looked into the Word, and when we found out that we were unhindered by Watchtower thinking, we started to get a different viewpoint about God. We no longer have that narrow viewpoint of Christianity. Somehow, as Jehovah's Witnesses, we lost sight of the fact that we were part of something bigger, that the body of Christ is universal. It's not segregated. It's not, well, you have to belong to this organization to be a body, part of the body of Christ. And if we have enough numbers here, you can fit into that. You know, there's only so many allowed. Well, we couldn't accept the fact that the body of Christ is a universal church. We always used to say, well, if they didn't buy the Watchtower, they're from the devil. Now, we can step back and get a bigger picture of what's really going on. Those who want to hang on to Watchtower Life should ask themselves, what is more important, eternal life or saving face? Sometimes we don't want to admit that we were wrong, especially if we've been part of the Watchtower organization all of our life. I know I had to face that. What's more important? Do I want to admit that I used to go around and teach lies? The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever gives us eternal life. The organization that constantly changes is just trying to save face. So what do you want to do? Life is too important. Ask yourself, who is telling the truth? The Bible or the Watchtower? The Watchtower says that Jesus is an archangel. The Bible says at Hebrews 1:4 that he's better than the angels. Hebrews 1:6 says that the angels worship him. So just ask the question, Jehovah's Witnesses, who is Jesus? The Watchtower says that he is the archangel Michael. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, beware of those coming to you preaching another Jesus. So think for yourself. The Bible says that Jesus will return with all, and all eyes will see him. What does the Watchtower say? Well, he's invisible and he's only going to be recognized by Jehovah's Witnesses. Who's telling the truth? Ask yourself, why did Jehovah's Witnesses forbid people from partaking of the emblems at the memorial? When Jesus said that all of his followers should do this, and they should do it in remembrance of him often. We could go on and on and on, can't we? We could consider a lot of things, but what comes to my mind, and I'd like to ask you a question, what is the Watchtower's greatest sin? Not all of their false prophecies, that's sin, of course, and not all of their false date setting, but misleading people and preventing them from getting salvation, preventing them from knowing who Jesus really is, so that Jesus could free them and give them the gift of life. Isn't that terrible? They're preventing people from knowing who Jesus is. Can Jehovah's Witnesses find Jesus? I did. You did. It wasn't easy on the way, was it? For me to reflect back 35 or 40 years, I can see that seeds were being planted all along the way. I just wasn't smart enough to realize it. At Bethel in the 1950s, I remember wondering about things that are falling into place now. Amazing as it sounds, even those anti-Watchtower books that I used to sneak up in the library and read, really, I did, made me think. Even though I was trying to defend Watchtower theories at the time, remember that book, Jehovah of the Watchtower? Boy, did I have a guilty conscience. I'd go up in the library and read that. It was good enough for them to read, so I figured it was good enough for me to read. But it really disturbed me, and it took me years to get over that. I tried and tried and tried to be a good witness, and I had such a guilty conscience. And for 30 years, a Watchtower slave. You know, I actually read that book and then burned it. How dumb when I think of it. Oh. I left the Watchtower religion before I left the Association of Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know how many of you have done it that way. It was easier for me to do it that way. I stopped believing in the Watchtower in 1977. Over that 1975 trouble. We had so many fights in our congregation. Everyone was condemned for not accepting 1975 up until October 2nd, 1975. And then you were condemned after that if you were on the other side of the fence. I remember one of the governing body coming up to, I don't want to say his name because it's a joke anyway, screaming and hollering in September of 1975, screaming at the top of his lungs, saying that if anyone in this room really thinks that there's going to be buildings standing in Danbury, Connecticut, 1 month from today, you're foolish people and you're going to be burned up with those buildings. That man is still on the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's on a tape recording. And they went around screaming and hollering at that. I have a tape recording that is so ridiculous that was made in 1976 explaining why something to do with Eve, you know, in the Garden of Eden. A whole hour talk explaining all this stupidity. If they just get down to the Bible and learn about Jesus, they could, all the trees in Maine that wouldn't be cut down. Do you ever stop and think of that? That's where they get all their paper from, most of it. I knew they were lying and covering up. I had to give a talk in 1977 at a district assembly about blood transfusions. And it just bothered me that something that was from a dietary law would cause people to be disfellowshipped and cause people to just break up families. And I didn't want to give the talk, and the district overseer and the elders said, "Oh, give the talk. Nobody cares anyway." So I gave the talk, and I'll tell you, Jesus started hitting me over the head while I was giving that talk, because I don't remember giving that talk. My mind went blank. I was told it was the best talk I'd ever given. But when I walked off of that stage, all I could think of is, "Jesus, get me out." No, I didn't say that. "Jehovah, get me out of this organization. Get me out of this organization." That's all I was saying in my heart while I was giving that talk. Little did I know that I was on my way. It took a while, because I had loved ones, and I wasn't trying to be a troublemaker. And I had loved ones and family in the organization, and I have a brother that's, Bill knows him, that's dying of cancer right now, and I can't talk to him. I have a niece that died on that plane in August in Dallas, and we weren't even allowed to go to the funeral. They didn't even tell us about it. They are wicked people that are making people do that. I rationalized that I'd stay and associate, but I won't take part. I knew I had to get out from under their grip, but I just didn't know how to do it. So I drifted for a number of years. I desired to be committed to something, because life outside of the organization just seemed so empty to me, of no value. Maybe they were right. Maybe they did have the truth. Didn't Peter say, "Where will you go?" Boy, did all of those things bother me. What a guilty conscience I had. Boy, what hang-ups I had, and the despair. In 1982, I actually contemplated suicide. I planned it. And thank Jesus for people who are not Jehovah's Witnesses. The man that I'm in the photo finishing business, and a man that is my Kodak representative, was a Catholic, and is disturbed with his church, and is having, you know, pangs of conscience, wondering what to do. But that man, his office is down in Long Island. He almost killed himself driving up to Greenwich, Connecticut, to witness to me why I shouldn't let an organization put me into that position, that Jesus was the most important thing. And that, it moved me on a little further. But you see, Jesus was protecting me. I didn't know that then. And I didn't want to believe him, but I'm still here. What I needed was right there all the time, but I didn't know it. Jesus was there. My Jesus. He belongs to me. A little over a year ago, I met Steve Ignatius in Seattle, Washington. Met Marge and Leonard there, too. But on the way back, after our little convention was over, Steve spoke forcefully to me. And I didn't want to hear what he was saying. I really didn't. He talked to me about Jesus on the way back from where we met in a little church in Seattle back to the airport. He took me back to the airport. We didn't know whether we'd see each other anymore. And he talked to me about being born again and being saved. And you know what he told me? He said to pray. And he knew that I would be frightened to pray the way he told me to pray. But he told me to pray to Jesus. And I did. And I don't know why, but I was frightened to do it that way. But that night in the motel room, I did. And something told me that I was on the right track. Within a week after Steve introduced the seed into my thoughts, I had accepted Jesus and was saved by the blood of Jesus. And it's no big deal. It's no big ceremony. Being born again just means that you got rid of your whatever you want to say, your life. It was buried, and you're living now for Jesus. He does come into your heart and makes a new person of you. It was a wonderful time. I experienced Jesus' hand protecting me through one of the most trying times that I ever went through. The potential breakup of my marriage. You see, my family thought, getting involved with all this protesting made my family think I was nuts, really. My wife really, she had it with organizations. And here I was getting mixed up with a group of people that were well-intentioned. I was spending all my time and all my money trying to fight the Watchtower, which has to be done. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but I was really off balance for a while. And the greatest test came on our family. But because of powerful prayer by faithful people, my wife also accepted Jesus in her heart, and we are together again mentally in our worship of God. But you know what really, I think, looking back and really trying to analyze things, which I don't know if we're really capable of doing, but I experienced real freedom because it was really something that I was always afraid of. But partaking of the Lord's evening meal really set me free. I really felt that I was a part of it. I really felt that I knew then that I belonged to Jesus. And this was before my wife and I solved our problem. But I was free. I had Jesus. He was mine. He would take care of me, and I knew that. And the people that were there to help me showed me how you can turn a problem over to Jesus and release it to Him. And I was free of the Watchtower brainwashing in one clean sweep. Believe me, I really was. It was a miracle. It had to be a miracle. One clean sweep. I was no longer afraid of them. Sure, there were many confusing things. A year ago at this time, I didn't want to hear anything about the Trinity. Although, you know, I was saying, yeah, I think it's true. But I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to have any deep... I didn't want to do any deep studying. I was tired of studying, tired of books. I didn't get involved in that again, learning about the Trinity and the cross. But it really doesn't matter. Jesus will lead you the right way, and you will understand at the right time. The only thing that mattered was my relationship with Jesus, and my mind was free at last. What? I mean, this time situation, when did I start? I only have a little bit more. Should I go on? Or okay. I just wanted to say, how can we tell Jehovah's Witnesses about Jesus? Well, we can think about what bothered us as witnesses. You know, if we can just get a little kink in that armor. Did you ever wonder why the Bible said that Jesus is the truth, but they say the Watchtower is the truth? We have the truth. They never say, we have Jesus, so we have the truth. So you could ask them that. What does it mean to be anointed by the Holy Spirit? You mean only Freddie Franz can be anointed by the Holy Spirit? What is this? A monopoly? Right. Praise the Lord. I never thought I could say that either, but I love to say it now. By the way, if you're wondering, I go to an Assembly of God church. Yeah, I do all that and everything. You know what I love about them? They've never asked me to join their church. They never asked me how many people I talk to. And, you know. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, remember what we used to say? Oh, is that right? James 2:19 says that even the demons believe that and shudder. Remember we used to say that when somebody read us that scripture? Oh boy. So if all you have to do is believe, then the devil will be saved. How superior we felt. We were educated by the Watchtower Society. We could feel that other people were so foolish. You see, Jehovah's Witnesses think people that believe in that simple truth are naive. They really do. They think born-again Christians are naive, simple-minded people. They feel so secure in their smugness that knowledge is what's important. But you see, believe has a lot more meaning in the scriptures than it does in the dictionary. In the dictionary, well, you believe that Ronald Reagan is the president of the United States, right? Well, in the scriptures, belief is intertwined with your eternal salvation. You believe, or you have a conviction, that everything is under the direct and immediate control of God. 1 John 5:1 says that everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. Period. Ask them. They have volumes explaining that only 144,000 are saved. The Bible says everyone. John 1:12-13 says, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be born of God." That's a guarantee. It's not going to change either with the next issue of the Watchtower. It's been that way for a couple of thousand years. 2 Corinthians 5:5-17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And this is the one I like. Hebrews 7:25 says that he is able to save, capital letters, S-A-V-E, completely, those who come to God through him. He can save. That, I mean, boy, how simple. And they made it so difficult. But this is what I want you to think about for the rest of the afternoon and like when you're having dinner, because it's going to be asked of you tonight. How does Jesus come into your life? Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Which means that you receive a new birth. You receive protection from Jesus. Healing and deliverance is what you get from him. You know, I was witnessing to a man that works in the cleaners right next to me in the back where they press all the clothes, a black man, a wonderful person. And I found a way that you can introduce people to Jesus. And I think it's a good way to introduce ex-Jehovah's Witnesses who are not sure of what they want to do. I've discovered the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Have any of you ever heard of that? You invite people there. It's a neutral situation, no church, no preaching. You have dinner together, and then you hear testimonies. Well, I invited this man, and he accepted Jesus. A couple of weeks later, he was saying, he's feeling down. I said, "Well, Ernie, why don't you get some spiritual upbuilding? Go to a church." And he says, "Yeah, my next door neighbor invited me to church, and I'm going with her Sunday." Well, Monday I saw him. I says, "Ernie, did you go to church? Did you learn anything?" He says, "Oh, it was awful." He says, "All they talked about was Jehovah." He went to a Kingdom Hall. But once you accept Jesus, he protects you. You have that protection. He knew right away it was false. And you know, he never knew I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I never told him, why tell somebody about something he doesn't have to know anything about? Right? So he knew right away that they were wrong. So in Revelation 3:20, there's a personal invitation to you from Jesus, because he's speaking and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door, your heart, and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." So receiving Christ is allowing Jesus to become the Lord of your life. But pray, really pray. That was the only thing that got me through it. I didn't start to advance until I started to pray. Thank you, Steve. Really, it's what does it, prayer. Open up your heart. Don't fool yourself. Get rid of all the hang-ups that you had when you were trying to please a man-made organization. Open your heart up to Jesus. Don't let lifelong attitudes that were formed by regimented religious thinking get in your way. Remember, God's word is His assurance that Jesus will come into your life. Forget that you were told that God does not speak directly to you through His word, that you have to read a magazine for God to speak to you, that you must use literature prepared by a group that appoints itself as your caretaker. His word was written for you. This thought might seem strange to you because you were taught that sincerity is not the criteria for judging whether you are on the right track. You were taught that you should follow the dictates of a body of men that should decide for you. But ask yourself this, if you were sincere in asking Jesus into your life, where is He now in relationship to you? How do you know that Jesus is in your life? The answer is, you have the assurance of His word, the Bible. The Bible will make you realize it. Just get into the word. So, just in closing, 1 John 5:10 to 14 says that anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe this is actually calling God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Can you imagine? You'll be free. It's as simple as that. Freedom. Your life will no longer be controlled by a faceless organization that only cares about money, quotas, increases, meeting attendance. You have just begun a wonderful life with Jesus. What you do will be between you and Him. You won't have to answer to anyone else any longer. You can grow in this new life by reading the Bible daily. Not with the daily text where they read a scripture and then you read Watchtower comments, but read the Bible, the pure, unadulterated Bible. And you'll get to know Christ better. Talk to Jesus in prayer every day and constantly tell others about Jesus. And fellowship, well, that's important too. Fellowship with other Christians where Jesus is glorified. Now, this might be the hardest step for you to do. It was for me. But remember that you have Jesus on your side. And believe me, it's easier the second time. And when they throw their arms around you, they make you feel at home, you know you're in the right place. And allow the power of the Holy Spirit to control your life every day. And if you're trying to get out of that organization, take one day at a time. Now that you are free in Christ, you are truly a real Christian. But don't forget that others are still in bondage to that earthly organization that keeps making itself look like an angel of light. We have to pray for them. Remember, Jesus died for them too. Even those wicked elders who persecuted you because you wanted freedom and they didn't want you to have freedom. Yes, He even desires that the wicked change. He wants all to have life. So make prayer for the eyes of Jehovah's Witnesses to be open so that they can also experience the real truth, Jesus Christ. Thank you.